Well, there you are. It's Monday, and we're together again, George Watkins here, on this wonderful opportunity to talk about the good things of the Lord. And the scriptures tell us in the Old Testament, when two get together and discuss the things of God, there's an angel that's taking notes and writing down the conversation. Just think about it. All the angels working today because you and I are talking about the good things of the Lord. Well, welcome. If you have just tuned in for the first time, thank you for taking time to check us out, spend a little time with us. You'll find that in these morning sessions, we love to hear the voice of the Lord through the scriptures, through inspiration, through revelation, and through a curiosity, a spiritual curiosity of, Lord, what's behind that next door? I'm not going to be stopped because the door is locked. I'm going to ask the Lord for the key. There's a key to it. Now, God spoke to me this week in a way that I don't like to be spoken to. I have two sets of keys. One of them is kind of a cluster, and it's got a certain set of keys for different locks. And that's the one I go in and out of regularly, some buildings or some doorways. Then I have another set, and it's for a truck I have and some other a shop. Well, believe it or not, I have misplaced both sets of those keys this week. So I'm fussing around, calling them back, believing God's going to give me my keys back. Now, I have a good idea they're lost in the house. That's the bad part. And the Lord said, ding, 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 lost keys. What have you lost or set aside or misplaced in the spiritual keys that you have used a long time, but you've set them aside or you've forgotten them? Wow, did that open up a doorway for me to meditate on for a season. Lord, okay, there's some foundational things that you and I do in the spiritual life. And there's some gifts that we're really good at because God gave them to us, called us to it, and we have exercised in some degree. Then comes along old Johnny Doubt and, you know, Susie Discouragement. Oh, you shouldn't do that in church, or that's not God because nobody else is doing it. And you let it slide. The key you had to operate that has been set aside or misplaced. Now, God's talking to me. If this fits you, take it up, because I believe God wants us to pick up and keep those original keys for gifts and ministry and revelation and insight and all the things that were the generating, the motivating, generating energy in our young spiritual life. We were full of vim and vigor, and we embarrassed people with our outward confessions and our declarations. And man, I'd pray in a heartbeat for someone with a short leg in the early days, pull them out in the chair and set them up in front. We saw some powerful stuff happen. We saw legs and change and grow and move. Well, where'd that key go? I haven't done that for a long time. Now, I'm not saying that's something I should return to. There was certainly an anointing and a faith for it in those days. But what key could you return to that you need to? That's what he spoke to me about. And if you are listening in and need that advice, take it up. It's good advice. So God continues to speak to us in strange ways. Now, I realize as a prophet and a prophetic gift that I have, I see things perhaps a little different at times because God speaks to me in pictures. When I'm ministering to someone, I usually see a picture, sometimes a word, sometimes a phrase, but most often a picture. And then I say, Lord, what does that picture mean? So the first is the word of knowledge. The second is the word of wisdom. And the third is a prophetic utterance. That's, I've operated in that understanding for a long time. Now, when God gives us an ability to hear, we need to exercise it. Some, when the scripture says, enter into thy closet, it's talking about meditation, prayer, and finding that place in God. When that happens, you need to go in and exercise that. If you find a particular place that stimulates your faith, for instance, in the natural world, a writer, someone who writes anything really, novels or, you know, business work, will find a sweet spot somewhere they could just be inspired. Louis L'Amour was one of my favorite authors as a young man, and even now. I haven't read one for a long time because I think I read them all. He was a prolific writer of the early West, cowboys and stories. And he said he could sit in the middle of an intersection with his typewriter on his lap and type up a story. Now, where'd that come from? It came because he exercised a muscle. We call it a habit, but it's a memory, a muscle memory or a muscle attitude. You can do that in the spirit. You can find your sweet spot, how to get into the Lord. It may be humming. Now, I know that sounds a little weird, but the chants out of the old Mideastern, and well, they still go on in some cases, but the ones that were genuine in the Christian world, they'd have the Gregorian chants. It was a rhythmic way of stepping into the presence of the Lord. Now, you can do it in the flesh and it just becomes dead works, just sounds and, you know, religious habits. But when it's spiritually connected, humming, singing, lying, walking. I know people that can't pray unless they're walking. I know others that can't pray unless they're kneeling or laying down. So what is the sweet spot for you? Well, that was all just extra trimming on a Monday. I really wanted to talk about the single eye. Matthew 6:22 says, if the eye be saved. Now, Jesus is talking here out of the scriptures, or he's in the, it's in the scripture what he said. You know what I mean. And he says here in the sixth chapter, 22nd verse, the lamp of the body is the eye. The light comes in through the eye and filters in to our whole frame, every function of the body. It depends on the eye. And it said, if the eye be single, it's full of light. But if it's not single, it produces darkness. Now, I relate to that. There's some other translations that talk about the eye being hindered in some way. Now, when I read that, I think about double vision, crossed eyes. When I was a young boy, they discovered I needed glasses. And I had a muscle problem that caused my eyes to cross. Now, they wouldn't cross looking straight ahead, but when I looked to the left, the right, that's my right hand, I looked to the right, this eye had a short muscle, and it would pull up, and it would go up on my head. So I saw, it was really crossed eyes. I had that condition until I was 21. Now, in those early days, the first thing they did was give me a pair of glasses that had clear glass in it, and they put tape right here in this. So it was, they were trying to train my eyes somehow to work together. Well, didn't really work much. So they changed it and added other glasses. And I got to a point where I was embarrassed with my glasses in the upper grades. So I would take them off and I would read with one eye, because when I did that, then I could see. If I used both eyes, they got confused. It was a real challenge. I remember going to the Oral Roberts tent revival in one of the cities we were in, and we got a prayer card, and I went up in line, and Dad wrote down crossed eyes. Well, Oral Roberts had some wonderful and powerful and multiplied miracle healings in his tent. He prayed for me as he did, sitting in on his chair, little 8 or 9, 10-year-old boy, laid hands on me. Now, 10 feet away from Oral Roberts, the anointing was so strong, I started crying. You could feel it just come over. There was a supernatural anointing. He laid hands on me, and then he looked at me, and my eyes were straight, and he said, "Oh, praise God, he's healed." Well, I wasn't, but the crowd shouted, "Praise God." I stumbled off into the sawdust, weeping and crying, and I went on another amount of years until we found a doctor that went in and took my eyes out. I know this is this isn't G-rated, and shaved one of the muscles and then put them back in. Well, it took 30 days before my eye. It was a trauma to that precious little sucker, my buddy. And when I first took the bandages off, that eye was just like that, permanent. I said, "Oh, Dad, am I ever going to see?" I was really discouraged. Little by little, that eye came down, and it became perfect. I had 20/20 vision, except for the double vision. The scripture says that if a man's has a double mind, he doesn't get anything. He can't get anything done. And so it is with the eye. If you have a double vision, and I taught that a lot in pastoring, there can't be two visions to a house. Oh, there's multiple outcroppings of a vision that the pastor, the lead person, man or woman that God has put the vision in. There can't be multiple ideas and visions that you're going to go here, going to go there. But when the vision is singular, everyone's hearing the same tune. In a household, the husband and wife have to have an agreement for raising children. The man says, "We want to, you know, use capital punishment, not capital, not that severe. Corporal punishment." Oh, you won't forget that one. Okay. I know sometimes you think that might be good. Someone said, you know why we knew Isaac was a teenager? Because Abraham was willing to kill him. Okay, move along. I make myself laugh. Okay. The wife says, no, we're going to have psychology. If you don't work that out, you're going to have a child that's going to take advantage of you and play you two, play one against the other. Mom said I could do it. Are you sure? Yeah, I just asked her. What'd you tell her? I said, Dad said I could do it. Okay, you got the point. Single eye, single purpose, single vision, single desire toward the Lord. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, we have single purpose, single desire, and we have single trajectory. Amen. Well, I have a whole backlog of thoughts about that, because that comes out of a long experience of focusing, finding my purpose, seeing the opportunities and focusing on it. And the distractions come. The double minds come. The double sight comes. Oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. And yet it's when we become focused on what God has given us keys to, something that is in your life that you may have gotten double vision over, and you may have lost sight of, got your eyes off. I think of Peter when I'm thinking about that. When he had his eyes on Jesus, he was making tracks on the water. When he took his eyes off Jesus and put it on the storm, he sank. Don't get your eyes on what's going on in the media, the news, Washington, D.C., and all the world events. Sure, it's scary. Sure, it can stir our emotions and bring fear, but we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Not to be ignorant of the seasons and the times. Sons of Issachar knew the times and the seasons. They knew how to function with God's direction and God's faith. So it is with the body of Christ, you and I. Let's keep our minds on Christ. Believe that he'll bring us through these crazy days, shadow days, dark days, scary days with victory. Amen? I believe that's right. So I encourage you today to keep a single eye. Keep your eyes on Jesus and find your key, because I plan to find mine this week. Amen. Thank you for stopping by on this Monday. Great day to be alive. If you haven't subscribed to my YouTube, do so. On Facebook, like me, friend me, share it, tell somebody about it. If God's nudging you to send a gift, you can do it through PayPal right below, or snail mail. Send it through the mail. We love it. We love to have you be a part of our supportive team, and it keeps us going forward. Amen. Well, until tomorrow morning, we will see you then. Until then, keep your keys close to you, folks.